And welcome to the 16th episode of Rebel Force Alliance, a Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes podcast. I am your host, as always, Ednar, and I'm joined tonight by my two meh co-hosts. We'll start with Dave. Dave, you just got back from vacation. Welcome back. How was it?
Well, for those that have small children and want to go to Disney World, maybe don't.
But how small?
It really was fine. But my son's two, so he's not like it's still he's not quite old enough for like everything yet, and he didn't really take to like many of the characters. So like, and rides as a 2 year old aren't super fun. So it was like a super stressful like 4 days. And for like very little like excitement from him, but he did get excited about for a couple things, so that was kind of cool. And I didn't get to go to the Disney Hollywood Studios, so I didn't really see any Star Wars stuff. But I did buy some Star Wars swag in the Disney store at the Disney Springs area, which used to be downtown Disney. So it was good. It was a fun trip. It was crazy, super stressful, super fast, and flying with a 2 year old is an adventure that is certainly not all that much fun, but for the most part, it was good. And, you know, it's not work. So how bad can it really be, right?
Now, did you get to see, or I don't know how far away this is, but because they're building the new Star Wars resort there.
They're building like a gigantic Star Wars area within the studios. I didn't see anything of it. I've seen pictures of what they're building, and it is pretty decent. I mean, it's they're making some progress. I think it opens in what, like a year and a half or something
like
that.
Yeah, something like that. I think probably for right before, because Celebration is not happening next year, but the year after. So probably right before that.
Yeah, that would make sense. I mean, it's going to be awesome, right? I mean, Disney does parks really, really well as far as the way that they do the architecture, and they build like these, you know, really cool experiences within the park. Even if you're just walking around and you feel like you're on a ride sometimes, so it's I'm sure it's going to be like top notch. Like the area that they did in the Animal Kingdom for Pandora is really, really cool. Mm-hmm. And they've done like I would imagine they'll do some really cool rides, and there'll be some fun stuff for kids, but as well as adults, because everybody loves Star Wars. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But I didn't get a chance to go over there and see it, and like I think you actually probably have to be like in the park to be able to see anything. But they're pretty secretive, so I'm sure that they have like ample coverage so that you can't actually see what they're doing.
Whoa! Let's not give them too much credit. Google Maps found the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, well, that's true, right? Yeah. You can't get past satellites.
Yeah.
Satellites are pretty good, right?
Yeah, Disney got foiled by Google Maps. So let's just leave that there. Yeah. But the most important thing is pertaining to me and Coleman. So what you're saying is you did not bring us back Star Wars swag.
No, I did not bring back Star Wars swag.
I mean, I'm disappointed. Coleman, how about you?
I was looking forward to that lightsaber. I really was. I was like, oh, Dave.
Do you have so here's a quick aside. Not like we ever really do quick asides, but they do have, like, in the downtown Disney area, a place where you can build, like, a cheapo little lightsaber. But actually back in October when I went to Comic-Con in New York City, there is a retailer who sells, like, custom-made lightsabers. Which carry and I have to find the actual name of it. Maybe next podcast I'll name drop what it is. But they were like $700 for a lightsaber. And I asked the guy, and I'm like, how much do they typically run? He's like, oh, anywhere from like $500 to $700. And I'm like, is it an actual lightsaber?
Like where do you farm the kyber crystals?
Like, does it work? Because that's a ludicrous amount of money for something that isn't the actual thing. Like, it's hey, not like
if it's a real thing, I will drop $700 right now.
There
right?
You go. For $700, I will easily buy a lightsaber. But it's like, it's not like when you like buy a samurai sword and like you buy a samurai sword. And yeah, maybe it's like a real sword. Like this, like a lightsaber doesn't exist. so why is it $700? Why is it $700? Really, I think the guy was kind of annoyed at me because I think I was asking a question that he probably doesn't have a good answer for, because it didn't look like they were doing a ton of business, but they exist, so they have to have sold at least a handful to buy at least a booth at Comic-Con. So anyway, you guys didn't get any Star Wars swag. I'm sorry. Had I bought you guys Star Wars swag, I probably would have bought a lot of other people's Star Wars swag. So I went for no Star Wars swag, and I only got myself one shirt. So, but it's pretty cool.
Fine.
A Stormtrooper shirt that says pew pew, so that's pretty – I'm excited about it. I have to wear it when I play Battlefront.
Okay, fair enough. We'll move on to Coleman. Wait, no, hold on. Were you able to keep up with your daily activities while you were down there? Or was actually playing Galaxy of Heroes like, no, you're not allowed to play it. Like, strict rules from the wife. You're not allowed to play this on vacation.
No, I just – you just take a bathroom break. But I got my dailies done. There wasn't an active territory battle, so that was good.
So what you're saying is you planned your vacation around territory battles.
It, you know what? It happened that way. It was pretty. Not only was there was no Eagles game on Sunday, and there was no territory battle. It was perfect weekend to go away. But the I didn't do Galactic War or anything like that because that takes too long. But I did my dailies really quickly because I need those Omegas, man. You run out of Omegas, so like I can't go. That would have been like 4 or 5 lost Omegas. I can't afford that.
Okay. Well, then we'll move on to Coleman. Coleman, how you doing since we last talked?
Man. Dave's doing better than I am. I've not been keeping up with my dailies.
Really?
Yeah, I kind of forget.
Well, you have also been busy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. With Battlefront 2 coming out on Tuesday, with all the chaos aside, I mean, it's a good game. When you break it down to its core, so you've been playing a lot of that.
Yeah. Haven't put a dime into it either.
There you go. But, so what have you been up to in Galaxy Heroes?
You know, I've been kind of going through characters, making sure everyone's good to go for the Ray event, and then kind of making sure I get my favorites so I know who I need to farm. Unmasked Kylo's coming along pretty nicely.
Okay, what do you have him at now?
He's gear 11, 7-star.
7-stars. Any Zeta?
Oh yeah, he's got a Zeta.
Okay.
Or his leadership data anyway.
That's coming along nicely. That's like almost.
That's like I'm one piece from being done.
I'm like 5 pieces from being done. Okay.
Oh, okay. But yeah, that's awesome. Is he fun? Have you used him a lot?
Oh, he's so much fun.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna take this as a good transition. We're gonna transition into Unmasked Kylo talk. See what I did there. I'm like a professional.
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay, fair enough. But we mentioned last week, we want to talk this week about Unmasked Kylo and how he's doing and how we see him playing. So, I mean, I'll ask you straight out, Coleman, have you been using him in Arena, or is he still in Galactic War Unmasked Kylo territory?
I've used him in Arena a couple times, and he seems to be working pretty well. One thing I will say is that I love his taunt, but he needs, like, if you're going to Zeta and put time into Unmasked Kylo, get his unique first, Zeta.
Okay.
Without that unique Zeta, it's kind of rough. I see that now. I kind of went willy-nilly, like, oh my god, his leadership ability is amazing, Zeta. Like, then I was like, Scarred could have probably been a whole lot better.
What does his unique do again? I'm trying to find him on Swagga.
Okay, Scarred.
Is that the Proton?
When Kylo takes damage, he recovers 8% health, and a random First Order ally who does not have advantage gains it for 2 turns. Kylo has 50% counter chance, doubled while he has taunt. Kylo takes reduced damage from percent health damage effects and gains taunt for 1 turn at the start of each encounter.
Okay.
Yeah, the Zeta is the taunt, so he won't pre-taunt without the Zeta.
And double Zeta counter is, chance, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, double counter chance too. So now when, I think I mentioned this in the last one, but when, because Territory Wars is around the corner, and we all know this, but
in those resist, like, you know, people are throwing resistance squads on offense just because it's resistance, obviously, right?
Yeah, they dominate all non-arena modes.
Mm-hmm. So, while I was in the event for Unmasked Kylo, the marquee, that bonus tier was all resistance with a Finn Zeta running around.
Okay.
And what I noticed when I threw my whole entire First Order team in there, Kylo Unmasked was taunting, and that's all they could hit, was Unmasked Kylo. Well, as soon as his protection was gone, his health bar didn't move, and they just kept attacking him.
Mm. Okay.
And I'm thinking, because one of them, because with Territory Wars, Resistance and First Order gained bonuses.
Okay, that I haven't seen, actually.
Okay. Yeah, there's a screenshot of those bonuses. Mm-hmm. I can try to find it.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull it up right now real fast somewhere.
Yeah, I would know firsthand, but, you know. Yeah. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, I'm trying to get over there real fast and pull it up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, give me a second or two. I'm really... Okay, here it is. The First Order's is No Mercy, which whenever any First Order ally suffers a debuff or attacks with advantage, they gain 5% crit damage and potency stacking for the rest of the battle.
Okay. So that kind of screws
resistance.
Throwing exposes on them.
Yep, because they're just going to keep gaining crit damage, and Kylo Ren's
masses. And you said potency up or just potency?
Yeah. And potency. So 5% potency and crit damage.
Yeah.
Stacking.
Fuck that. No.
So the resistance ones take every opportunity. Resistance allies have 10% offense for each exposed enemy and gain protection up 15% for 2 turns whenever they damage an exposed enemy.
Ooh, that's sexy.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah, I still think resistance are going to work on offense.
Yeah, you just have to avoid First Order teams.
Especially with BB-8, because then you kind of like, you pump them up beyond any level of ability to heal on the other side, because they do so much damage.
Yeah,
that'll be really interesting. Have you run him as lead a lot, or have you just used? You haven't run him as lead really much. You've just used him as like another taunter.
No, I've used him in both.
Okay, and did you use him with the First Order team, or just with a mix in arena?
Yep.
And how are the results with him as leader in arena?
With leader and arena, you know, I don't have my First Order max. Like, I don't have the Zetas and everything for them. So, I got... They said it was pretty easy to take it down, but another friend of mine, Knights, he's running the full Gear 12 Zetas First Order with Unmasked Kylo. And he's only fallen to, I think, maybe 15th.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen any in my shard at all. I'm not on that old of a shard, but I haven't seen any, and I doubt I will, because I would have seen him by now. Have you gone up against an unmasked Kylo? Much?
Not really, only him.
Okay, because like, that's the thing that worries me, like that I'm most worried about, is how well does he play on defense?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can be good as hell on offense, but if you're crap on, like, Fulcrum Ahsoka. Like, you could, like, Unmasked Kylo could be Fulcrum Ahsoka. Great on offense, crap on defense.
Yeah. No, I get that.
Does he use the stun first on defense? Do you know?
I think so. I gotta go back and replay him again, I forget.
He probably does. I mean, the stun's worthwhile. And what's nice about him from a team perspective is you can make, with the plus 30 speed, you can get Officer pretty fast, right? Because he's a relatively fast character.
Mm-hmm.
And so the plus 30 speed, you can get him going pretty quickly. And you can swap turn meter with Kylo, even if you don't have him zated. I think it really won't Well, yeah, even if you don't have him zated as a unique, it's okay if he has him pre-taunt, I guess. You can swap turn meter with him, and you can have him stun someone on the other team pretty, you know, right off the bat. So, I mean, obviously, that stuff can get thrown by the wayside if the other team has Han, but depending on who they, like, randomly stun. But it gives you, like, a stun right off the bat, which is incredibly valuable in the game. Mm-hmm. And then considering you'd also have likely Kylo, masked Kylo on the team, you know, those are two first turn stuns, which can help you, like, really control a match. Even if it's, you know, you might be able to stun and then restun a character too, which is always powerful if it's like a Thrawn or something that you can get faster than. So it's, he's got a really interesting kid. He dropped during a week that I was away. So, like, I unlocked him, but I haven't even bothered to start to gear him. And I'm not sure if I'm going to pay for him to get too high star level. I might just, like, buy the pack and get him to 4 stars and then just kind of wait. But with tanks at 4 stars, he's not really in there for damage. So I just kind of want to be able to mess around with that leadership ability with First Order. So,
yeah. Well, the funny thing is, like, his kit is pretty much based around stopping resistance.
Yeah, it really is.
Because he gains, whenever First Order ally gains status effect, they recover 5% health and 5% protection, along with Scarred. That recovers, when Kylo takes damage, he recovers 8% health, which, if you're going to damage him with expose and actual physical damage, that's 16%. So 21%.
Yeah, it's like a Zaris type heal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's tough to kill. In videos that I've seen, I mean, obviously, like, the super meta teams just run through First Order, but I mean, they run through everything, so that doesn't really matter. But as you think about, like, really good leaders for Dark Side Territory battles, like, he's gonna pop right to the top. And
especially for First Order now.
Yeah, and I'm assuming Dark Side Territory battles will drop prior to most people being able to farm him to 7. So anybody that has, you know, the dollars available in their bank account to go out and buy him now is going to have a nice little advantage there, because he's going to be one of the, you know, I'm sure we'll at some point do some theory crafting around the best leads for Dark Side, but he's almost assured.
He's guaranteed.
Massive updates. We'll do a territory Dark Side.
I think we talked about doing this, like, after our first episode. Like, oh, we're going to have down weeks where we can theory craft one episode and, like, do all this stuff. That has never even come close to happening.
I still want to do my, like, Mace Windu rework podcast.
But yeah, but the thing is this is going to dwindle, because all those theories we have, by the time we can get to it, we'll have a rework done. And then we're going to be like, oh, next rework. Oh, we're going to rework Phoenix again. Be like, crap, we still haven't been able to talk about him.
I know.
So, I mean, I'm just looking on SWGOH, and, I mean, he's not still, I mean, I know he's new. I know he's brand new, but right now for rank 1 squads, 5 people are using him as a lead.
Yeah.
That's still more than I thought.
I mean, it's tied with Boba Fett more than Nihilus or Tarkin. Still under Darth Maul. I mean, I would have actually probably expected more, but then I come back to think of, he's so brand new and people getting him to 7 stars. And
this is going to be rare, especially with the anniversary coming up soon. We know they're probably going to drop better prices on stuff.
Double drops.
And there's just a lot of, I think too, you know, and I don't know exactly, it's hard to speak on exactly why people spend the money that they do, or when they want to spend it, but there's just so much uncertainty right now on what's coming next, right? We're not quite sure exactly when Rey's journey is going to drop, and we pretty much are all assuming it's going to cost at least a little bit of money to get the smugglers ready in time. You're looking at...
Or Millennium Falcon.
When is territory war is coming? Like, is that going to require you maybe to spend a little bit? Like, anybody who's a spender sitting on those dollars right now and kind of waiting it out might make sense, because you do have time still before the Kylo, you know, you still have 22 days before the Kylo packs go away.
Yeah. And that's well before Black Friday, you know, the anniversary hits.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not the worst option to just kind of wait it out a little bit, and then I would imagine too that more First Order characters are going to come, so he's probably going to become even more relevant. I highly doubt he's probably maybe there's probably going to be at least two, if not three, more First Order characters that are released that are better than him, and because you just. Yeah, you just know whether it's BB-9 or whether it's Hux or if they do Snoke, like whatever. You know the next shoe's going to drop at some point with a really relevant, exciting character who might actually make First Order meta. So he's just maybe the first piece in the puzzle, and he seems a lot like he's going to be a lot of fun, and you know, hopefully I can start gearing him up soon and getting a chance to use him. Because for that leadership ability alone, it would be fun to mess around.
It's a good leader ability.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a real good leader ability.
Yep.
I mean, any leader ability that gives you plus 30 speed, just even that is a good leader ability.
And turn meter gain.
Yeah. He's a dark side Brex.
Yeah.
I mean... with more speed. Like, this is, I mean, but I also can see him being someone that easily fits into non-First Order teams.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, totally. Yeah, absolutely. He's really, like, honestly, when you think about it, too, he's like 40%. It's like they combined Boba, any speed lead, the stuff from Wedge, but bumped it up to 20%. And then, and then Wedge had a heal, so 10% heal. So it's 5 and 5 instead of 10% health. It's 5 health and 5 protection. So, like, they just combined a bunch of really awesome leadership abilities and made it all one. Yeah. but they did the ever-important, it's only for First Order, which, like, doesn't make him crazy meta where if, like, any of this stuff had been, you know, for
everybody,
you know, like if the status effect had been applied to allies, that could have made him, that's basically Jin Zeta. So like, it would have been pretty exciting for use in other, you know, with more hybrid teams. But yeah.
All right. So I'm going to ask a question of both of you, and we'll start with you, Coleman, because you've played them, Dave. It'll give you some time to think it out.
Mm-hmm.
Craziest team you can think of non-First Order to put Unmasked Kylo in. That's actually good. Not like a joke team. Like, put together an actual team that might be decent.
I would throw, actually, probably... Oh, but who would be the leader? Ooh, I'm stuck on the leader for a second. I'll come back to the leader in a second, but I can name off four right now, probably. Okay. Zaris, Darth Nihilus... Unmask Kylo, Shore Trooper, and then probably the leader, I guess, General Kenobi. So just throw in, swap out, I guess, Thrawn or CLS for Zeta Kylo, or Cruz.
Okay. Yeah, it could work.
Because he can do some damage with that Focused Rage special. And then the whole time you've got Zaris just constantly healing, plus you've got two auto-taunters already in there, plus a third one that applies crit immunity. So that team's going to be incredibly hard just to knock out.
Yeah, oh yeah, it will. It's more of an annoying team than anything.
Yeah. Plus the whole time you're trying to take out Darth Nihilus, which they're not going to let you.
Yeah, no. It's basically like a Kenobi-led team now, just, I think, more annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that team. What about you, Dave, now that you've had time to think?
Well, I'll actually go to something that a guildmate ran, and I think I'm getting it right, but it's... It's Zeta, it's Kylo, and I'm assuming he's running him with a Zeta, with Talzin, Zombie, And then Kenobi and another tank. It was basically Talzin and four tanks. And it worked incredibly well on the offensive videos that he posted. Which is kind of crazy to think, because again, you're not getting a ton of damage, but it worked. It like legitimately worked. I'll see if I can hunt down what the other, because without using it myself, I'm not quite sure the best team to use, and I haven't had a chance to mess with it. But it's like not even theory crafting. Apparently, this team has been able to like do a pretty decent amount of damage and stay pretty high in arena. So, yeah, I think you can just throw them with a bunch of tanks, and it works. And obviously, Talzin helps a lot too, because she's kind of relatively over. Yeah, it's Talzin lead, Zombie, Shore Trooper, Kenobi, and Kylo.
Okay, no, I see that. I see that pretty working out pretty well.
And it works. It works. It works really, really well. He said so. Interesting, this kind of multiple tank teams, I think, work pretty well, especially against like the CLS teams, because you're just constantly going back between taunts and everybody's healing and everybody's got large health pools, and then you can just use like Talzin to slowly drain their health with Plague.
Mm-hmm. So she'll be protected pretty much the entire time.
Pretty much, yeah. There's like a constant, you know, there's going to be constant taunting going on, since obviously everyone's got, you've got three pre-taunts if you have Kylo Zeta on that squad, as well as, you know, Kenobi, who taunts every other moment. So even if you've got Thrawn on the other team, you know, inevitably they're going to find there's going to be a taunt up. You know, he can't fracture all four guys at once. And Talzin does pretty good damage. And like you said, Kylo can do pretty good damage. And Kenobi's got that full team assist. So there's ways to still kill people.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Okay, I'm gonna go. I'm thinking hella outside the box here. I may be completely off. So I'm actually gonna go Palp lead with Unmasked Kylo. I'm gonna throw in Shore Trooper, Death Trooper, and Maul.
Maul.
I'm using Maul for the days.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking more like to counter the CLS teams now. The days would get rid of the counter abilities.
And then Death Trooper just goes to town everyone who already has days and stuns them.
Yep. And I mean, they each get 32% potency and max health. Jedi and Rebel ally enemies have minus 32% potency and evasion. And then they gain health whenever they inflict a debuff. So for both of them, you have two pre-taunters in that group. Now, you could easily take out Maul and put in a Thrawn, you know, or Nihilus or something like that. I'm just thinking of characters that we don't see every day type of thing.
Right.
Because I want to change up the meta.
Everyone does, let's face it.
It's just, yeah. It's one of those things where if Kylo had, or Unmasked Kylo had any other tag other than First Order, he would be broken as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, if he had an Empire, and I mean he would never have an Empire tag, but if he had any other form of a tag, it would be sickening.
I think, I'm still waiting for that character who's going to say, crit damage cannot be resisted. So it goes through crit immunity.
That would get rid of the Kenobi conundrum.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably one of the big problems with the meta right now. I mean, Kenobi right now is in more teams than CLS.
Yeah. But the problem, one of the main ways around the Kenobi Zaris team is because of crit immunity. So you wouldn't, like, because they almost they almost counter. They work so well together, but they almost counter each other. It's like the team with the self counter, which is what's so like interesting about it, because it's kind of counterintuitive to use the word counter 500 times. Like the if you could only crit, it would make it almost impossible to kill a Zarya's team.
Oh yeah. And that's why CLS teams have such a hard time with.
I don't have a hard time with them at all. It just takes a little bit of. You just have to pay attention. Like all you have to do is keep. If you're running Thrawn, all you have to do is keep Kenobi fractured, and then you just get crit immunity on anybody, and you just whittle them down with not crits.
Yeah. See, I don't run Thrawn.
Yeah, it's just without Thrawn, I could see how impossible it would be, because you can't. You can cleanse the buff immunity, but with Thrawn, who's again just fantastic, you can't do that. So it's really easy at that point to whittle them down. Because the great thing about Rebels is they do a ton of crit damage, but they actually do a ton of just base non-crit damage. So you can still run through teams pretty quickly. You know, especially if you're running, you know, Han and CLS, which almost, you know, that's just staples of any of those standard meta teams, they can still burn through those squads pretty quickly.
Okay. Well, I'm going to move us along because we still actually have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
A couple of other things I wanted to mention that came up this week. We did get the Kylo Ren promotion. Hunchback Kylo Ren, not Unmasked Kylo Ren.
Hunchback.
And everyone got 80 shards of Hunchback Kylo, except me. But everyone got 80 shards. The problem with mine is I have two accounts, and you have to log into another device on your B account to get the shards, but that didn't happen. But, I mean, for most people, this is 80 free shards for the shard shop. I didn't see this coming, and I don't think anybody. I don't remember them ever giving out just 80 shards when there wasn't like a mistake made or something like that. They just gave out 80 shards,
which is why I'm not going to complain about anything about this.
Nope, I think this is great. Like, yes, yeah. My B account didn't get it, but my A account did, my A account loved the shard shop currency. So, I think this is great. There are some restrictions, they said, because of age restrictions, stuff like that. But, for the most part, you know, you have until February 1st, 2018 to get this. So, you have a while. Another thing that came up today, and we actually talked about this, and none of us were surprised, but the new ships... the silencer and the other TIE pilot.
Special Forces.
Thank you. I was just going to say SF. Just because I can't remember the name Special Forces when we talk about the Special Forces pilot is not cause to harass me.
Yes, it is.
No, it is not. Both their ships showed up in platoons for territory battles this week. I'm not surprised. These guys aren't surprised. A lot of people were upset. And it's so minor, and we should have seen it coming. I mean, the Ewoks were in platoons right away as well. So, I mean...
So we're all through the hard ships.
Yeah, the Millennium Falcon and stuff were in there. So, I don't see it being a huge deal. What do you guys... Did you guys think it was a big deal, or did your guild freak out?
No, because we had a TIE silencer ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, no, we didn't have one, but...
It's just to be expected. It's you know, I don't think it's worth freaking out over the same stuff over and over and over again. We know they're going to do it. Do we like it? Maybe not, but oh well.
Whatever. Do you understand why?
Sure. Yeah, like certain, you know, guilds that have the whales and the krakens that buy the ships can do it. The others can't. Realistically, you can do territory battles without the buffs. Like, you can do them, You can get through the nodes without them. I know they're helpful for, like, what's funny is they end up being the most helpful for, like, lower level guilds who could never I can't even fill the platoons to get them. But yeah, I mean, it didn't surprise me. I didn't even think anything of it when I saw people complaining about it on Reddit. You know, I could see, but it's, people complained a lot less this time than they did about, like, the Ewoks and stuff like that, because I think everyone's kind of just jaded at the whole thing, and they know it's coming, so at least you're still going to have some straggler complainers, but I think a majority of the player base is probably just like,
that and these ships are useful unlike Ewoks.
Yeah, that's a terrible thing to say.
But kind of true. I mean, outside of you.
And hurtful.
Outside of you and, like, five other people, Ewoks aren't that useful.
Ewoks are great in territory battles. We're not going to get onto an Ewok discussion because that's not fair. But
me and Coleman would win.
No. Ewoks are great. For lightside territory battles, Ewoks are an amazing team. They're really good.
Yeah, that's really good for lightside territory battles.
Who?
What?
BB-8.
Yes.
Yeah, he's great. Resistance BB-8 teams, the other team doesn't move.
Hey, McMull released a video today of Lobot-led droid team that went 6-of-6 in territory battle.
And everyone was super mad.
If Lobot can do it, I mean, I guess Ewoks can do it too.
I guess. You know who doesn't get a chance to do it? Honda.
Oh, saw that one coming.
He's going to be Darkseid.
Yeah, he's going to be Darkseid. So, yeah, even if he was in the game, no big deal. You just got to wait for Darkseid territory battles.
Yeah, I'm sure he's coming.
Yeah.
And then he'll be...
Then he'll be useless.
Then he'll be then he'll be shadowed by a Porg.
Yeah.
Screw Porgs. I hate them. I hate Porgs more than Ewoks.
I can't say anything about Porgs yet because I haven't seen what they can do.
I know what they can do. They can sit there, get in the way of Chewie trying to fly the Millennium Falcon, and make little tiny roars.
I don't know. Small little furry creature. They've brought down empires before. Maybe
it's a hamster.
Bring down the resistance.
They brought a talking hamster into Star Wars.
Maybe.
Hey, I'd rather have
zombie in a Star Wars.
I'd rather have Jar Jar back. Yeah, I said it. Yeah, deal with it. Okay, so
and what's next?
Okay, we'll move on. We're gonna go to the big news is Territory Wars. So they announced that Territory Wars are gonna be coming. They didn't give us an exact date, but we're gonna go through some of the things they did release. So they announced they're coming soon. They said several territory wars will occur per month at times when territory battles are not occurring. For this, I thank you. I don't think any guild would ever want to do both at the same time because the leaders would want to pull their hair out. Yes. So the gameplay of this, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is basically, it's on a territory battle map, essentially. You have the left side and the right side, one guild's on each side. And what they do is, it's, I don't think they said how many days it lasts, but I think it's three.
Three or four.
Yeah.
So territory wars have a sign-up period and two primary phases. So it seems like 3 days, with each phase being 24 hours long. Oh, I should probably read the whole sentence before I talk. and this is to accommodate members across time zones, availability, all that fun stuff. So the first phase is the preview phase. This is the period where players join the event. Now, this is an interesting mechanic. So what they're doing is you have 24 hours as a guild to sign up if you want to participate in the territory war. So you're not required to participate. But a guild needs at least 25 members to start it. So for a full guild, you need half the people to participate.
So it sounds like if pretty much you, if your guild doesn't want to do it at that time, you don't have to. it's not going to be a forced thing.
Like, I even took it as so people don't get burnt out trying to do territory battles and territory wars. Like, it's almost like an every other week thing. Like, yeah. 1 week they do it, the next week they don't. 1 week on, 1 week off, if they want to. Like, if you want to take a week off territory wars, go right ahead. You're not affecting your guild. Which I like. I mean, I think that's smart. It's not forced gameplay.
Well, do we know it wouldn't affect it, though? Because you have a certain amount of teams you have to be able to put onto the onto defense, and then you can only use a squad once on offense. So if someone doesn't participate, isn't that just removing the amount of teams that...
So the matchmaking, they said, pairs two guilds using a combination of factors, including the number of players signed up and the strength of their rosters. So essentially what they do they take the number of people and their galactic power and find somebody similar.
Nice.
So, okay. I mean, you're not screwed by having 25.
Yeah, I misread something when I first saw it, so yeah, that's good.
Oh, that's great. That's really, really, really good news.
Yeah,
because now you don't have to worry about, like, replacing... Like, one of the main issues with territory battles right now is that if someone, like, goes on vacation and isn't going to be around for it, you've got to replace them. And, like, that, you got to move people around. And if you're not in, like, a large, like, you know, multi-tiered guild where you have other guilds to pull people from, like, now you have to, like, recruit a random or throw in somebody's alt or something like that, and somebody might drop down a star or whatever. It's, like, it really can hinder you because, like, if someone just happens to be away that week or can't play the game or whatever it is, this kind of circumnavigates that problem, which is really a really nice addition.
It really is. Another great thing they did for this is they essentially put a player lock on it. So once it starts, any progression you make on characters, useless. So if you have a character at 4 stars and you promote them to 5 stars, doesn't matter. They're still 4-star. And this is to prevent cheating. So, like, you don't take all, like, they give an example here. You don't take all the mods off your characters to get a weaker match, throw all the mods back on, and then just crush them.
Oh, can you imagine taking all the mods off all your characters and then having to put them back on?
But you know there will be guilds.
I know people would, but oh, I hate those people, because what kind of time do you have on your hands to be able to do that?
And you'd love that kind of time?
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's crazy. I shudder at having to remod an arena squad.
Dude, I don't know.
I do too.
The last time I remodded for...
Mods on every character.
I don't remod for really anything. Territory battles, generally not. I really don't. Like, I'm not someone who's going to sit there and be like, okay, let me take off these 5 mods, and then these 5 mods, and then when you're done, be like, okay, which mods went where? Which mods went here? No. I'm not dealing with all that, so. That's... You guys, like, are in shock right now. Like, I can't believe he doesn't do that.
What, remod? I don't remod.
You don't remod either?
Mm-mm, no.
Nope.
Okay, so now I don't feel so bad.
I still actively farm or purchase mods in the store, and I just slowly upgrade all characters.
Yeah, the only time I remod somebody is if, like, they have a disappointing outing, and I'm like, okay, what can I do to help better them?
Yeah, or for arena. Like, if you're going to switch characters in arena, I will. I have, like, certain sets that are really good for arena, so I'll just keep those on arena characters. So, obviously, if I remove somebody from arena, I'm going to have to... Like Leia, I had her in arena. I put Thrawn back in. I remodded them for, you know, put good mods back on Thrawn and put, you know, the other mods back on Leia. But remodding takes a ton of time, and it's really not needed for a majority of the PvE stuff. So the only time you'd need it is really for PvP and arena. So, but, like, that's where it's interesting for territory wars, because that's kind of like arena, right? You're facing real characters, likely with legitimately good mods on them. Like, you may need to remod, but you can't because they lock it. So that's actually saves everybody tons of time, which is nice.
Yeah.
Or can you remod? You can't remod, or you can?
You can't.
So you definitely, you can't, you cannot touch your characters at all?
Any changes you make to your characters, Useless.
Perfect. That's great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's a great thing. I love that.
Yeah, because so, the remodding or people just using like a stud set on every team they put in could be a problem, and now you can't do that, so that's great.
Mm-hmm. So the first phase, or called the setup phase, this is the phase where you sign up. Or no, the preview phase is when you sign up. The next phase is what they call the setup phase. And this is the period where players assign their defensive squads fleets to protect their territories. But here's the thing, unlike territory battles, and this is key, units do not refresh in territory wars. So once you use a unit, they're done for the entire thing. And you still need attack units. So it's going to be like an interesting, okay, I want to use these characters on defense, but can I give them up on offense? Type of a, like.
And I think the strategy right now, from what I've been seeing, is, you know, deploy your D and C teams for defense, and then use your best squads for offense.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah. That's kind of
because there is something in there that says like, okay, everyone on defense will have Galactic War style healths and protections, so they're going to be buffed up quite a bit apparently when you throw them on defense.
Yeah, I mean, and there's going to be definite min-maxing at the higher end, but I don't think that's going to be the majority of guilds. The majority of guilds are not going to be min-maxing this after dealing with territory battles.
Yeah, and I think so far what I'm liking is that this isn't taking a huge amount of time so far. It's, okay, a preview phase, then for the first 24 hours, then, okay, now I got to set up my defense squads. Okay, it's going to take a little bit of time. Not much, though. Attacking, I've yet to see.
Yeah, we haven't seen the attack. I think, didn't they just start the defense phase on the beta?
Yeah, that was today.
Yeah, I watched a video of an attack earlier. It's Arena, like Arena, yeah, with a timer. Yeah.
Okay.
So it does have a timer.
Yeah, there's a 5-minute timer for the rounds. And I do think that, I mean, we'll get way more into this in another episode. I don't want to belabor it either. But I think there is going to be some strategy around where what you do, like, and how you use teams. Since offense is technically easier than defense, you could make an argument that you'd want to use your best teams on defense and, like, your B teams on offense because you'd still be able to strategically win with them. But then again, you'd be going up against a bunch of then – if everybody did that, you'd be going up against a bunch of, like, crazy meta teams which can win on defense. So it'll be interesting to see. I think certain characters that, like, make easy mode offense, like Zeta Baris and, like, Zeta Hermit Yoda, are going to be super valuable for this because they make it almost trivial to win on offense. And if you use those on your offensive teams, you might be able to pair them with lesser characters to be able to get through some of the meta squads, allowing you to then throw in your, like, crazy high-level meta characters on defense to really give the other guilds trouble.
Yeah. Now, one thing they did also say, which is takes the strategy to a whole new level, is so unlike territory battles, all contribution limits, so amount you can contribute, such as the number of defensive squads that can be assigned, are guild limits, not player limits. So what that means is the flexibility for guildmates who cannot participate in the whole event, they can now take a defensive role and place all their troops on defense or all their troops on attack. So let's say you have a squad, like a guildmate, who has a real high galactic power, but can't participate in the attack mode. Well, they can put all their best characters in the defensive role and not really worry about it at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you can definitely min-max that way.
Yeah.
So... Hmm. So you have that, and then they also go on to say to ensure everyone understands units do not refresh between phases. So they will have a message that appears. They do also say units must be a specified power to participate. So no throwing in your level 50, you know, Bistains or whatever.
Was going to say level 50 zombie, because zombie.
Oh yeah, zombie would be good. Well, that's a nice change. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, suicide Ben squads.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the number of defensive squads fleets that can be assigned to a territory is based on the number lowest... based on the number lowest number of members between the two guilds. Mm-hmm. So, and the next phase that we have is the attack phase. So in this phase, players attack their opponents. Weird. Attack phase. We attack the opponents. The opponent's defensive squads on the front territories. So defensive squads have persistent health, exactly like Galactic War, so players need to work together to defeat the opponents. Unlike Galactic War, to prevent any one meta squad from dominating the map, attacking squads that successfully defeat an opponent are not available in future attacks. So basically, you can't run a CLS team through everyone.
No, one and done.
So you want to run your C squad first.
Ednor, I'm surprised you didn't say run Resistance through it all.
No. Well, Resistance can run through it all, but they changed it. They can't now. And, I don't have BB-8, so...
I mean, I like this a lot, because that means you're going to have to really strategically play out how this is all going to go.
Yeah, I mean, until Hondo comes, and then his unique is one-shot your entire team.
Yes, I'm sure that's what his unique will be.
Yes. It will happen.
Call in a pirate horde and just dominate everything.
Yeah, I mean, that's how he rolls. So it's one of those. So once all the opponent's defensive squads have been beaten in the available territories, the guild conquers the territory, pushing it to the next set. So essentially, getting through the first wave to get to the next wave. This will allow the guild to complete the territory war attack phase as quickly as they choose. So this one I can see taking a while. Just because, you know, a guild has to plow through a phase, plow through the next phase, plow through the next one. It's not just one person who can do all that.
But they only have 24 hours, right?
Yeah, they only have 24 hours. So it's just like...
it's going to take a hell of a lot of coordination, which might be... yeah.
It's essentially, to me, what it sounds like. It sounds like phase 4 or 5 in territory battles. Mm-hmm. Like, a little bit harder than the others, but still doable.
Yeah.
So, all right, and then the phase after that is the review phase. So this is a period to review the final status of the event. Basically, collect your winnings. And you can do that by earning banners. So banners are you earn as a player for your guild for a variety of actions, including setting a defensive squad, successfully defeating a defensive squad, conquering an opponent's territory, and the winner of the match is based on the guild with the most banners at the conclusion. So I think I was looking, you need at least 600 banner to qualify for prizes. But for setting a defensive squad, you get 50 banner points.
Yeah, so 600 is nothing.
Yeah, so 600 is nothing. I think it just prevents guilds from like signing, having 25 people sign up and then just having one person do it. And then everyone getting rewards. It's kind of like an anti, like, cheesing it strategy. Because you get rewards whether you win or lose.
Right.
Do you get the Zetas whether you win or lose?
Depending on your guild's galactic power. So, I think you need at least 50 million galactic power to get a Zeta.
That's not bad.
No. But
majority of guilds.
That's 50 million galactic power that's in, that's signed up.
Mm-hmm.
So for like my guild, for let's say only 25 people sign up, I mean, for most people, that's 50% of the guild. Has to sign up if you have 100 million galactic power.
Yeah, and for, like, the big guilds, like, that are that high in galactic power, like, I'm pretty sure everyone's going to sign up.
Yeah, but for a guild like the one I'm in, we have 75 million galactic power. So we're probably going to need 30 to 35 people to sign up to hit that.
Yeah.
Just to get the Zeta. But that takes us to our next point of rewards. So in rewards, this is the first time they've ever, like, consistently rewarded us with Zetas. And you can get between 1 and 3.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
I'm not going to complain.
The majority of people are going to get 1. Well, let's just flat out say that. I think you need something like 70 to 79 million galactic power to get 2 Zetas.
Mm-hmm.
So if you win and you have under 70 million, you're only getting 1. Now, don't quote me. I don't have the reward chart in front of me.
Yeah.
Because I can't get on. But I think that's what I saw. I know you need to have at least 50 million galactic power.
Hmm.
So, I mean, yes, you still get Zetas. Yes, you still get gear. I think I saw part of the reward system was Carbontes, Mach 3 Carbontes. So everyone can be happy about that.
Yeah, they took out Mark 4s and replaced it with Mark 3s.
So that's a bonus. Another place to get them.
Mm-hmm. And they're still fine. And I think they said somewhere is that they're still fine-tuning the loot boxes, so...
Let's not use that blasphemous word.
Oh, yeah.
We don't use the LB word on this
show.
The
reward crate.
There you go. The reward crate. So, I mean, this is just... The rewards are worse than territory battles, obviously. Like, the gear that's in them is worse than what you would get in territory battles. And I think it has to
better.
The Zeta makes it better-ish.
No, this just makes it better.
I don't know. I don't know about that. Like, to me right now, I'm in the point now where a Zeta doesn't have the same meaning to me because, I mean, honestly, they're not that important to me. Like, they're important, but I have the ones on my arena teams. I have a select few others. Any other Zetas on top of what I have now are just for fun. Like, and aren't required. So, like, farming them to me is less important than it was 2-3 months ago. When, like, I'm like, alright, I need to get my CLS Zeta, my R2 Zeta, my Raid Han Zeta to fill up my arena team. Now I'm just holding on to Zetas for Dark Side characters in the next 2-3 months.
Jenna and Lightsaber Rey. That's right, you're not going to get her.
I hate you so much right now. No, I'm saving both my Zetas for
Force.
I will fly to Hawaii and punch you in the face. I am saving it for Hondo. Because Hondo is going to have a record-setting 5 Zetas. And he is going to be dominant. But,
and,
like...
And the Porg's going to destroy him, though.
I mean, the Porgs are going to be what's for dinner. They taste like chicken, probably, anyway.
I'm going to send you, like, a bunch of Porg stuff.
Like,
this.
Really? Because I don't get that all the time on Discord. But, I mean, so the reward system is nice. I think it works well with the amount of work you have to put in. Because like you said earlier, this doesn't require a lot of work to do the territory wars. It looks like you're doing like one day a week you're going to be doing some galactic war battles. And assigning some defense. That, to me, sounds like that's what it's going to be. So, I don't know. Do you guys have a different feeling like that's what it's going to be?
It's not gonna be bad.
What about you, Dave?
No, so what else? You get Guild Store currency, right?
Yeah, you get Guild Store currency.
Which they're reworking the Guild Store too.
Yes, so. CG Cozy Spoon snuck that one in on us today.
Yeah.
So they're going to be reworking and hopefully making... Because the only thing that I can think of that is real out of whack with that is the cost of the gear to the amount you get. Like 700 Galactic Power for... two pieces of gear, two salvage, is just horrible compared to everything else.
Yeah, which it's been long overdue now for a Guild Store rework.
Yep, it needs it.
I mean, it's been long overdue for like almost all the stores to be reworked, right?
Yeah.
Like most of it's like you just either people are using them for shard shop currency or they're just kind of waiting on something to maybe go there. But yeah, no, that's great. I mean, if they put some valuable stuff in there and they give us a decent amount of currency for each win, you know, just hopefully it's another way to, you know, get valuable gear or whatever.
Yep. Now the players, they did say also that the player contribution on banners is going to be tracked in the stats, kind of like the combat missions and special missions and all that stuff is in territory battles. I do hope they change it. This is where I'm going to talk kind of about both. The territory battles and hopefully for the territory wars. The new information they gave out for stat tracking is nice, but it's missing one super duper crucial thing. Is it doesn't show people who haven't done it. So you still have to manually track everything. Because unless you have all 50 members memorized and you just have sitting there with a checklist going down the line, seeing, okay, this person's got it, this person's got it, this person's got it. They just need to add all 50 people's names, and if they haven't done it, put a zero next to it. It's that simple. They do that, the stat tracking is infinitely better than what it is right now. Because right now, the people who track for us aren't really using it because of that sole reason. So, I just hope they add that simple thing to it. Now, I know you guys don't really do all the tracking and stuff like that.
Do not.
You guys are lucky. I had to bring on two assistants. Like, I was in charge of it for a while, and I brought in two assistants to help me with the tracking. It's been a barrel of fun. Let's just go with that. And then there will be leaderboards, so guilds that win a territory war will be placed on a leaderboard based on the galactic power of the opponent they defeated. So it's not your galactic power, it's going to be the galactic power of the person you beat. So the first person who beats Team Instinct is going to be a hero to all.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be like, oh, we beat, you know, Team Instinct, we're number one on the leaderboards for sure. Who knows? It may be you, Coleman.
I like to think that it'll create like some pretty fun rivalries.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think it will be. Because you know the same guilds are going to be going up against each other every week.
Totally. And there's also, like, I think what's also kind of interesting, and I'm sure, you know, Coleman will have some insight into this because of the guild he's in, but like certain guilds have history together, mm-hmm. right? So like certain guilds maybe used to be the same guild and now they're multiple guilds and where they split off, where they people broke away and maybe they'll fight.
Oh, we're getting Robot Dave.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah, it's got Major Robot Dave.
So Major. We had Robot Dave. We didn't hear a word you just said.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yep, I can hear you now.
So what should I do?
Oh, yeah, just keep talking. That's fine. Oh, okay. I mean, this happens in any podcast that's ever used Skype before has had to deal with this.
Well, yeah, anyway, it's just like, I think it'd be cool to create some, like, some rivalries. And hopefully they'll all just be, like, in jest and fun, because, like, at the end of the day, like, I don't want, like, Yeah, you hope like message boards don't just get filled up with people, you know, bitching and complaining about, you know, the guild that they faced or things like this. But I think it'll create some fun rivalries and add a cool dynamic to the game that we haven't had before that people have been asking for a while. And yeah, that should be good.
I think this will generate some friendly trash talk. Yeah. Now, Coleman, we alluded to, you're in one of these top end guilds. Is there any talk that you can actually talk about? Because I don't want to give away anything. Is there any talk within your guild on how you guys are going to be taking this when it goes up against, like, taking on, you know, Team Instinct, Wallet Warriors, you know, other high-end guilds like that?
We're just going to try to do our best, man. I mean, not going to do anything till the day we do it. So I can't really say anything.
Okay. Are you going to trash talk a little?
Oh,
possibly?
Yeah,
okay. All right. As long as there's trash talking, I'm good. I'm all for trash talking.
We're certainly going to trash talk against Team Instinct, so.
I mean, everyone will. When you're at, like, when you're the top guild, you have to expect everyone to trash talk you on everything you do. It's mandatory.
Yeah, everybody's.
Me and Dave are in Rebel Force. So we have, what are we at, 10 planets now? 10 guilds? Dave?
12.
12. Okay, so we're at 12 guilds. 12. Okay, so I'm waiting for the day we get matched up against another Rebel Force guild.
Yeah, it might happen. We have similar GPs for some. So.
And I will make it unbearable for the other guild. Like, I will get kicked out, probably. I will use the @everyone tag to tag all 600 people in the guild. I will abuse my powers as an officer. You know, I'm not even going to let it sit. Yeah. So, but all in good fun, for the most part. But, I mean, I think that's one of the perks of this, is you can fight your friends.
Yeah. Yep.
So, I love it. Then, another big thing that they added is you can report another guild. So what they're doing is they're taking cheating seriously, and they will suspend or ban players that are caught cheating. So to help identify cheaters, a guild leader or officer, not anyone other than that, can report their opponent guild if they suspect them to be violating the terms of service. Misuse of this feature, such as reporting a guild with no evidence of cheating, will result in disciplinary action. So no, they beat us, I'm going to report you to try and get you in trouble.
So, you can't just do no spamming the report button for no reason. Yeah.
No, this is the first time they have had a reporting feature in the game.
Not like actually built into the game, probably, but actually it's been there for a long time.
Like, I know you can report people, like, if you go to their site.
Yeah.
But people are lazy.
Not as lazy as you think.
Yeah, true.
Because it's happened to, I've already known like 4 or 5 people have in their arena reported people, and they take immediate action on that stuff.
Now, what kind of cheating do you think people could actually do? Like, I was trying to think of this.
The most common one I've seen so far is the battle and win. If you battle them, you win. If you get fought against and your team's on defense, well, you win, but then within like 5 minutes, you know, the other team's back ahead of you, and you know that they just got finished with theirs. It's been like a minute, and they've already beat your team, which shouldn't go down in 1 minute.
The other thing that I can see happening, and this is not something that will probably be reported, is win trading. Because when you get to a certain point, you're going to be facing almost the same teams every week. Or right around, like, the higher you get. I could see win trading becoming an issue.
It may be. I mean, I think certain guilds are not going to want to do that because they're just going to want to continue. Like, if they're winning, they're going to want to, like, continue to win just kind of from a competition standpoint. But, yeah, if, like, two guilds got continuously seen – if, like, say two Rebel Force guilds kept getting matched together pretty consistently, like, they, you know, you could – theoretically decide, hey, you guys take this one, we'll take the next one, and they're going to want to try to avoid that. So I also wonder if they'll have a way to avoid, like, guilds within the same, like, network matching up against each other. I don't know how they do that, but it might be interesting if there's a way for them to do that, to avoid that, too.
Okay. Now, the last thing they talk about on this is the future iterations. So for future iterations, while the initial version of Territory Wars has intentionally minimal complexity to help with learning, get people used to it, some stuff that they want to keep adding to it is faction bonuses on the maps, individual territories, or even specifically the attacker or defender on a territory, unit requirements, and platoon missions and associated abilities. I don't like that last sentence because I'm not a fan of platoon missions. But I mean, you had to kind of think that it wouldn't be this simple for a while. Like, oh, we're going to introduce this new game mode. Set an attack team, attack 3 times, you're good. You knew they were going to add some more in-depth stuff to it.
Yeah.
So, now, Coleman, you said... So they talked about faction bonuses on the map. You had mentioned that First Order and Resistance have special abilities.
Yeah, I went over those before, but let me get back on that account real fast.
Is this the only faction specific abilities that you know of, or mm-hmm. it is okay?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like Ewoks and Jedi and the heroic AT type of thing. It's just those two for now and no others.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. I mean, I like it. I like that... I think the faction bonuses on the map will change when they do different planets. Like, they could rotate the map to different planets, and each one will have different... different faction rewards.
Yeah, like Geonosis or Kamino.
Yeah, yeah. And then some other things that we've kind of found out that have come out today, because today was the first time in beta that they could do the defense, so and attack even. So the attack phase lasts for 24 hours, and the battles have a 5-minute timer.
I love.
Yep.
It's going to make things a whole lot more fun.
Yep, so health and turn meter carry over for the defending teams. Fair enough. Let's just see what I'm reading here. If you attack an enemy, that enemy team is locked for all your guild members and cannot be attacked as long as you're fighting it. So that prevents 3 people from trying to attack the same person.
That's good, because I know that would happen. Like, everyone clicks it at the same time and tries to take it down, and then 3 attacks are wasted because everyone beat it.
So, one PSA, retreating from a battle removes all damage you made, and it makes it like the fight never happened because your squad won't be available anymore. So, do not ever retreat. So,
dang. So, why even have the retreat button?
Yeah, like, don't ever retreat because you basically got nothing. So other than that, I think that's really all that we know as of now.
Yeah.
For Territory Wars. Now, is there anything you guys wanted to add about Territory Wars? Because I've been talking for a while.
Dave?
I mean, I'm excited for them. I think they'll be fun. I think what's most exciting, and we can probably do this at on another podcast once we get a little bit more information, is just starting to think about really the best true strategy to tackle these. I think a lot of it's obviously going to depend on, you know, the guild you're up against and things like that, and being able to look at maybe their rosters to figure out where they might take things. But, you know, really trying to find that happy medium between having strong teams on offense and strong teams on defense, knowing that this game generally is easier on offense than on defense, you know, thinking about which characters you want to use where and which characters are just typically better on defense, and maybe, you know, thinking about using those, even if they're great offensive characters too, using those for your defense team. So I think there'll be a lot of really fun theory crafting and probably some pretty unique teams, like maybe teams that are really annoying to fight or teams that might, you know, be at risk of like timeouts and things like that, like Zeta Baris and stuff like that. So, I think it'll be a lot of fun. It'll be pretty cool to kind of start to break it down and hopefully we get some more information soon.
Yeah. And I think it will bring out whole new teams because essentially you're going to need probably 4 to 5 offensive teams.
Yeah. It'll really bring back the theory crafting aspect of this game.
Yeah. And unlike as weird as it sounds, I've come now that I actually have Kenobi up there, like he is 7 stars tomorrow, and then he'll be gear 12 tomorrow as well. But I'm using him in territory battles, and right now, I wouldn't say he's useless, but he's not that good in territory battles because people don't crit. The other team doesn't, like the AI doesn't crit. He barely ever taunts. He can cleanse, that's about it. In my world, yeah. Like, I faced him today, he didn't have taunt for 6 waves. But in this, you can go up against a crit-heavy team, and you can pick and choose who you want to start against the team you're going up against. So, like you said, it's going to go into a lot of the theory crafting. Mm-hmm. And you're going to need a deep roster, but you're going to need a deeper roster almost than you do for territory battles.
Oh yeah, because this is everyone's on the table now. So
yeah, this isn't. Yep. Hey, we need just to have this character at 7 stars. No, we need this character at 7 stars, level 85, gear 10,
well modded. Higher.
Well modded. So, and you can't change around your mods, so you need to start mod farming. Like, this could either be the best thing that's ever come to the game, or it could backfire horribly.
Yeah, it could tear up. Yeah, I mean, this type of new content can always tear up some guilds and cause people to move around to find stronger guilds and things like that, you know. But I think hopefully that's not what happens, and it's just really fun content that it sounds like you get decent rewards whether you win or lose, so hopefully people aren't going to be all up in arms just for, you know, a Zeta here or there, you know what I mean? It's just, I think it'll be fun just from an experience standpoint, build some more camaraderie within the game because you're really relying on your guildmates, and you also can have some fun banter back and forth with another guild. So hopefully it's, what they need to have is like a trash talk area within the forums where you can like go back and forth. That would be fun.
That would be.
I was going to say like in game, like there's just an open chat sitting
there. Yeah,
yeah, like each guild has like a red or blue chat so you know who's doing the trash talking.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Oh no, I would love it. Like, this is a way to invigorate. This is guild versus guild arena.
So pretty much. Never mind. Well, I'll get your thoughts at the end.
Okay. So all right. One last thing we need to talk about the beta and. This is bitter for all three of us. It's bitter for all three of us, but I think it's one of the best steps they've taken in the game so far is the beta. Mm-hmm. So, on one hand, they opened up the beta to the public to test out Territory Wars. Up to a certain point, like 10,000 people.
Yes.
This is the first time they've allowed a public beta. Which I think is huge. I think a public beta, after you do your internal betas, doing a public beta where you can get more mass testing done, makes a smoother product.
It does. Yeah. And especially after the whole, when Territory Battles released, there were a lot of bugs and glitches inside it that we all had to work around.
Yeah, and they could have bypassed all of that with the public beta.
And I pray, and I encourage anyone who's in the beta right now to take it seriously. Don't just mess around and just say, oh, cool, I played it. I'm inside it. This is awesome. You know, take time to go on the forums, write anything you see or find that could be changed or fixed, and let them know. Because they're looking for this stuff. They want us to give them their feedback on it, to let them know how to fix things and what needs to be fixed. In order to make it better. They want to put out quality stuff. for us. So please just take it seriously.
Yep.
Don't squander the opportunity.
Yep. If you find something wrong or you have a suggestion, put it in the forums.
Because if this works out really well for them, there most likely will be more open beta testing.
Now, as great as it is, I'm super bitter. Because
it's... And you have a good right to be.
It's only for Android users. Or emulators. So essentially, if you are an iOS player, you're SOL. And obviously, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And I'm hoping that it's something on Apple's end.
It is.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. Yeah.
I'm hoping,
they have a really stringent... It's the same reason why it takes a lot longer to do, like, community test environment type stuff on consoles versus, like, having it on PC, in that there's a review structure that's created that... And Android, the stuff, the review for Androids is just a smoother process and a lot easier to have, quote-unquote, test things go live. Apple really doesn't like that too much, so it's not as easy. It's much more cumbersome, and it's probably not worth it for CG. So it's all Apple. Like, this is very standard with Apple. We've all made our bed with iOS and Apple. We now have to lie in it, and we don't get to do the beta, and that sucks. But you can use an emulator if you want to. So for the next one, that'll probably be my plan.
Yeah, I've already got it set up on my iPad. So
now here's the thing, though. But this is a long line of Androids getting stuff over iOS users. So correct me if I'm wrong. This is what you've gotten so far for being an iOS user in the game. A Wix. That's it.
No, well,
that's
yeah,
specific they... to only iOS users. Is Wix.
But even that, though, like, they gave that promotion was for both. It's just iOS got Wix.
Oh, sorry. They got what? I'm using the acronym. iOS just got Wedge.
Yes.
Yeah, Android still got something. iOS they got Bigs. iOS has never gotten anything, and it was only iOS that got it.
No, they got... No, when that promotion came out, iOS got Wedge, and Android got Bigs.
Bigs, right.
Like,
but there's been promotions that Android has gotten stuff, and...
There's been numerous promotions.
There's been promotions. Like, for The Force Awakens, I think one of them got Phasma, and the other one got... I think iOS got Poe, and... Phasma went to Android.
Okay, see, I wasn't around for that.
Yeah, that was, like, very early in the game.
Yeah, that was really...
But like, think K2SO.
Right, so K2SO went to Android, but Android only. Like, iOS has never had an iOS-only promotion, and again, that's because Apple kind of sucks sometimes, or all the time.
Yeah.
Some people are...
I mean, it's...
This kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's just more my bitter, like... I love the iPhone. I love iOS, and I'm not going to switch off. But I wish I could still get some of the same rewards, like a free 7-star K2SO for Android users. Yes, K2SO is not that great, but a free 7-star anything is awesome. Yeah. Or the Ray gift cards.
Yeah, like, I'm salty about that one.
Like, the Ray gift cards is another kind of big deal that's just for Android users. It's just you would like to see them try, and who knows, they may be working. I'm not saying they're not. It's just we don't know the inner workings, but I just kind of want more iOS love in the game. That's all.
Good luck.
That's all I want.
Okay. Now, aside from that, from what you've heard, what are your thoughts on the open beta?
I think from what I've heard from... I do have friends that are in it, and they are having the time of their lives because they have unlimited crystals. They can test out whatever they want and just see how it goes from there. They said the only problem is you have all these crystals and all this gear, but you can't get Zetas. So that's kind of like the real game.
Yeah,
but they're loving it. They're getting to test out characters they never would have been able to in the game now, which might cause them to get the characters.
That's a really interesting point. It might, yeah.
Now the funnest thing I've experienced so far with it is the arena.
Oh yeah,
the arena is great. It's pretty much like a little skirmish. You get to battle people who you've never faced before. Now you get to go against people who are on other servers, your friends that are on the same beta server, and you're just going back and forth. The top guilds are going against one another in arena. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was watching a video by I forgot who for RSG. Reality Skewed Gamers, and they were talking about, like, they showed, like, the top 5, top 10 in Arena, and it's, like, Team Instinct, Dark Lords, RSG, Wallet Warriors, like, those, like, they're like, you'll never find another Shard where it's, like, every top person in all of the top guilds are top 20 in Arena, because they've all had their accounts on the beta for forever. So, yeah, I would love to be on it right now.
Oh, it's great.
Like you said, it also was very limited to 10,000.
And it filled up faster than I thought.
Yeah, so like...
A lot faster.
That's another PSA. If you've logged on, tried it out once, haven't logged on since, get off the beta. Let somebody else in.
I don't know if it works like that, though.
Really?
You can't leave
the beta?
No, they closed it.
Once you're in it, you're in. Yeah.
Well, never mind then.
Yeah. Like, I signed up for the Battlefield 1 community test environment in PlayStation. I can't unsign up. Like, okay. I can choose to not play it, but, like, I'm in it forever if I want to be now.
Oh, yeah. See, I've only ever been in one beta before for, like, a major game. That was Overwatch, so...
Yeah, once it closes, it closes.
Okay. We've been going on for a while. Do you guys have any other thoughts about Territory Wars, Kylo, anything like that?
I do not.
No? Nope. Coleman, how about you?
I'm good. That pretty much covers everything. I forgot one last thing, though.
Oh, God.
Alright, so all the shout-outs are pretty much to people who first signed up or joined the Discord server. Benedict Admiradel, I'm sorry if I pronounced some of these wrong, but I'm not a good English pronouncer. McMoltu, Andy Rue, Lightning Pony, Shin, Grande Patron, I'm sorry if I pronounced this wrong, this one's highly complicated, Ignorainvo. Do you know how to say it?
Igorianov.
Oh, thank you.
Igorianov. There you go.
Jeez. I'm not very good with this kind of stuff, so bear with me. Molkar, Nykmus, Painted Land, Sand Shoes, Skart Hatch. I hope I said that right. Does that look right?
That looks right.
Okay. Spork and... I think the very first person who signed up was Team Zero Far. So big shout out to y'all. Thank y'all. It's a lot of fun so far.
Yep.
Getting the chat with everybody.
The Discord has started to become a fun thing to either chit chat, harass Mole, or get me into arguments about Battlefront.
Mainly, if you want to join this Discord and send Ednar a bunch of Porg stuff, Go for it.
Yeah, I mean, Coleman sent me 2 memes of Porgs while we were recording.
Yep, just because I knew.
Just to spite me. So, I want everyone to join because it's a great way to keep in touch, just chit-chat during the day.
Yeah, chit-chat, or if you have any questions for any of us, please feel free to put them in there.
So, and then we have channels for Galaxy Heroes and for Inferno Squadron or Battlefront. Inferno Squadron is our Battlefront podcast. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we will hopefully continue to grow that. And then I will include the link to the Discord in our show notes again. And then it's also sticky to the top of our Twitter channel, which is at RFA Podcast on Twitter. So you can just click on that and get into the Discord. It's real easy. If you don't have Discord, download it. It's one of the best tech inventions in the past 5 years. I think that guy even who created it was named like Forbes to Forbes top 30 under 30 list. This is a guy who invented Discord. So plug to Discord. But I think that's about it for our show. We are going to have a wonky week next week with it being the holidays. We are going to release a show, but it's going to be earlier than normal and probably a little shorter depending on what information is brought out. But we're obviously not going to record on Thanksgiving because we all have to watch the Detroit Lions lose.
They're playing Green Bay?
No. They already beat Green Bay.
Okay.
But, you know, I would say 2 out of 25 games in Lambeau is good odds for the Packers. I mean, when you win 23 out of 25 at home against a team, you're doing all right. So, Dave, are the Eagles playing on Thanksgiving?
They don't play on Thanksgiving. They play the Sunday after. They play the Bears.
Oh, that will be an easy win.
Yeah.
Like, do they even have to play their starters?
I think they still will play the starters. It is November, so typically you don't start taking those out until late December. But
Thanksgiving football is big for you. Because the Cowboys play, the Giants play, and the Redskins play. So everyone you hate.
Yeah. And the Eagles play the Cowboys on Sunday. So if they beat the Cowboys on Sunday, the division should be well within their grasp. But yeah, they don't play on Thanksgiving, which is good. Because they've played on Thanksgiving a handful of times in recent years. And I don't love it because I prefer to kind of not have any stress on my Thanksgiving. I just want to eat and drink and sleep. When the Eagles play, it introduces stress, and I don't want any of that. So, you know.
Yeah. Coleman, you're going to be in Hawaii, so do you have, like, a turkey on the beach? Is that how it goes? Like, does your turkey have pineapple in it?
It has a pineapple as a side.
Like, it's not stuffed with pineapple and macadamia nuts?
No.
Macadamias.
Like, I feel maybe like a Kona coffee roast crust on the outside. I'm saying everything I know that comes from Hawaii. Maybe some raw ahi tuna.
I'm just not even going to say anything.
No, is that not how Hawaiian Thanksgivings work?
No.
Well, no, shit. My life is ruined now.
Well, everything we've known about Hawaiian Thanksgivings has been wrong.
Yeah, like, I mean, my mind is blown right now. Like, I totally figured that. And then, like, everyone just drank Mai Tais the whole day.
Oh my God.
I mean, I'm in Wisconsin. We have cheese on literally freaking everything.
That's true.
Like, we got cheese on everything. We drink a lot of beer.
Not a stereotype. All stuff that they actually do.
Yeah. Wisconsin, 90% of all stereotypes in Wisconsin, 100% true. So we just assume everyone else's stereotypes are true. Especially Hawaii's. So, alright. On that wonderful note, we're going to end the episode. You guys have a wonderful day, wonderful night, and we will see you guys next week.